Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. Today is the great feast of Pentecost, and it is the culmination of a journey we've been on since Ash Wednesday, and in many ways since the first Sunday of Advent, but really since Ash Wednesday. And as I get older, I notice that time compresses, like months can pass and I barely even notice it, but I still haven't gotten to the point to where my heart really clues in on that. And I don't know if you have, if you're there. Maybe whenever I get, like, you know, a lot older, but I'll probably be dead by then. The reality that this is just one period of time, one narrative, one story, one linked progression, one great symphony, one movie, one novel, one story that goes from Ash Wednesday to today. And should have enthralled our hearts the entire time. It is an incredible feast when everything that our Lord did in his ministry, in his miracles, in his death and resurrection and his ascension is now, all of that is now poured into us through the Holy Spirit. I just had a really stupid analogy come to me, and y'all know that I'm like really good at really stupid analogies. This is a really bad one compared to everything else I'm going to say in this homily, but you deserve to hear it because you deserve this penance. It's like Jesus has been pressing add to cart, add to cart, add to cart, add to cart, and today he presses checkout. And it all comes to us. It all comes to us today. It is the feast of abundance, the feast of incredible generosity, the feast of the Spirit. And the Spirit is known for his liberality. The Spirit is known for his extravagance. And we see that in all the readings today. We hear in the first reading about how all these people were there, like from everywhere. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Pontians, Asians, Phrygians, Pamphylians, Egyptians, Libyans, Cyrenians, Romans, Jews, Cretans, Arabs, all these people. And the Spirit just pours on all of them. We hear about all these gifts in the second reading, all these manifestations and charisms that the Spirit gives. He offers us a true feast. And I want you to feel that. One of my deepest moments in prayer, really ever, was, I guess it was 11 years ago now. And I was in the chapel, and suddenly I just got a sense of my complete and utter emptiness, my poverty. And then immediately, a sense of the lavishness of the feast that he was offering me. There is an incredible extravagance in the Spirit. This is also the day that we come to the end of our long journey since September in talking about the moral life. And I want you to know that all those commandments, all those virtues, fighting against all those sins, all those gifts, all those beatitudes, they all come to us in the Spirit. But here's where I want to get a little bit more particular. I want you to get a sense of like all of Jesus' ministry, every gift, every beauty, all of that is thrown open to the church today. And it should be overwhelming. It should be overwhelming, but it shouldn't be desensitizing. Because God doesn't call us to embrace every possible thing. He calls us to our particular thing. And so now let me go into a little bit more detail here. Anybody paints? Do we have any painters in here, like artistic painters, fine art painters? No? I mean, even as a hobby? Okay. I don't either. I've tried. I'm really, really bad at it. I should not be this bad at it. My hand does not work at all like the rest of my body. But the reality is that I realized as I kind of got into this that amateurs like I was go and support Michaels by spending lots of money on buying like 6,000 color paint set, right? And then professionals use like 8 colors. And they blend them themselves. They mix them themselves to get the exact right shade. And so let's start with this. Dear brothers and sisters, the things that I've been talking to you about over the past year are like the Spirit's 8 paints. Okay? The commandments, the virtues, the gifts, the beatitudes, these are the basic colors that He gives you. This is your palette. They're not just abstract things. And they're not just a random list of Sherwin-Williams colors either. They're essentials. And He gives them all to you. But now, and don't yell this out loud, just think. If you were going to paint a horse in a field, what colors would you use? Neon yellow. No, right? Unless you're being crazy. No. If you were going to paint a sunset, what colors would you use? A snowstorm, a cathedral, a young girl eating strawberries. What colors would you use? If you're trained, you'll probably use all of them or most of them, but you certainly won't use them in the same proportions. You're not going to be using a whole lot of grays when you paint a sunset. And you're not going to be using a whole lot of oranges when you paint a snowstorm. But they're still there. You still need them. You still need them to know how to paint. It's not going to be what you're doing. Okay. Why am I giving you this? Today, we hear that there are different forms of service but the same Lord. Today, we hear in the gospel that as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And on this day, when the apostles speak in the tongues of all men, let's play a little bit of word games. You've heard me do these things before, but I want to remind you, because this is, I think this is really critical. This is not just random scholarly mess. It's really critical that we get the links of all this. In Greek, the verb for to send is apostolein, and the one who is sent is an apostle. In Latin, the word is mitere. Whenever you talk about the one sent, it becomes missum. And this is where we get the word missionary from. And missal. And mission. These words are all connected. This reality is all connected. The apostolate, apostolic work, missionary, mission. It's all connected. And it's what the Spirit gives us today. It's what the Spirit gives each and every one of us today. We each and every one of us have a duty. We have a job. We have a mission. And yes, each and every one of us has to use the same colors on the palette. But each and every one of us is painting a different picture. An irreplaceable picture. A picture that is not given to anyone else in history or on earth to paint. And dear brothers and sisters, this is what I need you to hear, that all the things we've been talking about so far are essential and important in and of themselves. But how do they lock all together? How do we bring together the commandments, the virtues, the gifts, the beatitudes, all that? How does it all link together? In concrete, in your life, it links together by looking at your mission. What has God given you to do? What is your purpose in life? And this is not found by going and navel-gazing. This is not found by going and walking at sunset and wondering. This is looking at where God has placed you, what duties He has set before you, what gifts He has given you, and what your heart knows you must do. My mission is not yours. I know that drives people up a wall. It drives people bonkers when they come to me and say, Father, since that I really feel called that we should do something about this, and my answer to that is, then do it. It's not my job, right? I know my job. My job is to write stuff, pet my cats, and be sick. That's my job. Your mission is yours. Your mission is yours. And the reality is, the church cannot function unless a sizable portion of us are doing our mission. Whenever I direct souls in spiritual direction, I've often had this question, not that I do a whole lot of spiritual direction, but it's still, I've often had this question, what should I work on next? What virtue should I work on next? What should I, you know, what thing? I'm like, well, what are you supposed to do? I mean, look, we should all be working on all the virtues all the time. It's not like I can say, God has called me to be really close to my parents, I'm really good at the fourth commandment, therefore I can go murder people because not murdering people is not my job, right? No, of course, we all have to do the basics. But you all know that my job at least partially involves teaching. That's my particular mission, different from other priests. If I didn't accept that and kept on trying to buck against that and didn't work on the particular virtues that supported that mission, then I wouldn't be doing God's will. And what about you? Are you particularly called to fasting, particularly called to helping the poor, particularly called to visiting the elderly, particularly called to what? We all need to do all of them. We need all the colors, but man, if you're painting snowstorms, make sure you got your whites and your blacks and your grays handy. And make sure you know how to use them. And if you're painting a horse, you better be really good with neon yellow. The reality here, dear brothers and sisters, is that the Spirit gives to us lavishly, but not randomly. Lavishly, but not randomly. His gifts to us are fit to our purpose. And all the things we've studied are what He mixes and uses in each of us to produce something unique. Something distinct, a form and a kind of holiness that has never been seen before. C.S. Lewis makes this point. It's a great point. He's not Catholic, he still makes this point. It's a wonderful point. He says, people think that religion flattens and that sin gives liberty. But if you really study it, you see that people addicted to alcohol, addicted to sex, addicted to rage, they all end up acting very similar. But if you look at the saints, they're all radically different. They're all clearly distinct. There's no saint that really matches another saint. Sin takes all those colors and turns them into muck. The Spirit takes all those colors and produces matchless beauty. And so on this incredible feast day, dear brothers and sisters, that's what I want you to pray about. To thank the Spirit for His generosity. To ask Him to sharpen your focus on the mission He has given you to do. So that you, yes, obey all the commandments, yes, live all the virtues, yes, open to all the gifts, yes, aspire to all the beatitudes, but that you do them in the harmony, the proportion, and with the precision of a person called by Him to a purpose. Goal, to an aim, to a mission. pray about your mission today. God bless you all.